Tonight is not really a Bible study. It's really an information session. But it's still good to start with a good song and with a pray. Our loving God and our Father, we thank you for all you've given us this week and at this conference and even for what's yet to come. We thank you that thou hast blessed us so greatly, Father. And we do pray that you would take our lives, take our will, and make them wholly thine, Father. And we pray that for everyone that's been able to be here this week, that we would all be affected, the young and the old, by being under the sound of your word. And Father, we think of later tonight, the gospel meeting. One more opportunity, one more time that the gospel will go forth. And we pray that if there be any here who have not yet bowed their knee and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that tonight that thy spirit would have free rein to work, to convict hearts, and to bring precious souls to thyself. We pray for this time together before us now. We ask for your guidance, Father. We pray in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. I wanted to mention one more time about In Touch magazine that Brian mentioned this morning, that it's available for, it's written right for your age group, and you can receive it online through email, or you can receive it in printed form, or I think you can receive it both if you'd like it that way. The sign-up sheet is out here at the bookcases, so if you don't receive this magazine, and not only is it written to you, most of the time to you. So it would be a very good thing for you to have. Now, did everybody get a card? A few minutes what to do with that. The Bible is full of questions, if you've never noticed. There are so many questions in the Bible. Read just a couple. Here's what David asked in a time of despair. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? I'm going to read a verse in Mark chapter 4 when the disciples were in a fierce in the ship that they were in. And they were so afraid. And I'll read Mark chapter 4, verse 38. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Question. What a question to ask the Lord Jesus. Don't you care? And what they, Lord, how long are you going to put up with this? Who can tell me the very first question in the Bible? Got any guesses? How do you... Okay. You're close. You're very close. That's the first question that the Lord asked in the Bible. One came before that. That's it. Has God said? In the first question that we find in the Bible is really Satan, the Word of God. What's the first question that we have in the New Testament? That's not the first. In the New Testament, the first question. Where is he? Where is he? And here we have the wise men seeking the Lord Jesus. Where is he? I want to give a brief overview of a work that I do, and it's available for you to use, and it is answersfromthebook.net. It's a web. I want to give you a little bit of idea of how this started, and how the Lord, I believe, blessed even beyond anything I ever thought, and not as a way to point to myself, because I really don't want to do that, but just as a way to show us all that when the Lord is in it, he'll prosper it, and that sometimes we think our work, the Lord, is kind of small and maybe insignificant, but it's not at all. The middle of last year, I had the thought, impression of the Lord, to start a radio program. Now, some home, if I'm at home around 2 o'clock, there's this television program comes up. I'm having lunch, I'll watch, and it's called Ask the Pastor. And it's a panel of five local, and people call in questions or write in questions for these men to answer. And I would watch this program and get so upset that these men who were supposed to be spiritual leaders had so little knowledge, who so many times just gave their opinion. People would write in with a question and they would answer it with a yes or no. Very seldom did these men open their Bibles to show the answer to their questions. And sometimes the answers were so wrong according to the Word of God. And my wife would always tell me to quit watching it because it made me so upset. But for some reason, I'd keep watching it. And then I just trusted as the Lord impressed on my heart that I could do something. And so, after a lot of prayer and some counsel, I thought to start a radio program. And really, as a nod toward moments with the book, I called it Answers from the Book. And rather than have people call in to ask questions, I asked people to write in to ask questions. It gives me more time to look into the Word of God to try to answer their questions without saying, well, this is what I think, or say yes or no. Next question. I want to honor their questions with more than something than that. In our area, we have a very, very small AM station. And I'm not lying to you. You can go to this station and drive maybe 3 miles north and you can't even hear it anymore. It's that small. And so I went to them with this idea that I'd like to start this program. And it's a Christian station. And they were that. And they gave me, a very good time slot. I think it was 2 or 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoons. So it was this program. And one thing that really encouraged me, too, is there was a man who worked at the station who broadcast the radio station on the Internet. So it would go beyond this 10-mile radius that this radio station reached. So I had a lot of questions from the retreats that we do in the Bahamas and to be answered. And I had a lot of these questions that I could go ahead and start the program. And actually what I did is I made a program or two and I gave it to some of the brethren and asked for their advice and their counsel of what they thought about this. So we started on the radio. Got very, very little response because there's such a small circle of people there to hear the radio program. We got some responses from the Internet, but a couple of months after we started the program, the station decided to go to half secular, half Christian, and the man who was putting the radio station on the Internet quit. So there I was with a very, very small group that I could broadcast to, and the man who was putting it on the Internet was gone. So I continued that for a while, and I finally was able to reach this man and ask him would he like to put this program on the radio, on his Internet radio. And he seemed very, very glad to. One thing that was good about this is that it was very expensive to put this program on the small AM station, but he gladly put the station on the radio station. I was on for half an hour every Sunday. This man has the program 14 times a week, the same program. I was encouraged by one of the brothers in the assembly, why don't you make a website to go along with the program? And I didn't know how to do that, but he did. So Josh Wilson, a brother in the assembly back home, he built a website. And this is the website, www.answersfromthebook.net. So that every time a question sent in and answered on the radio, we put the question and answer on the site. And you can go to this and you can see the question we've ever answered on the program. And if you like to hear a sweet, sweet, you can push a button and listen to the questions. So either way you want to do it, you can do that. Not long after that, I had a brother suggest, why don't you make a Facebook page? How many of you guys use Facebook? Not most of you. He said, why don't you make a Facebook page? And I said, I don't know how to do that. He said, I'll do it for you. And so he set up this Facebook page. Normally on a Sunday, I normally have four questions that I'll answer in a half hour time span. And so on Monday, I'll put the first question on Facebook, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I normally have 4 days a week that I post these questions on Facebook. If you've ever been to Facebook, to sites, you know, sometimes you like a site, and that means when I post something, those people who have liked the site will get the answers or get the questions and answers. Right now, we're approaching 30,000 likes on Facebook. It's a huge amount. I can remember when I got to 100 likes, and I thought, man, this is amazing. 100 people will get these questions and answers. Now we're pushing 30,000, pretty close. Probably reach 30,000 maybe by the end of this week. And it's just phenomenal. Something I never dreamed would happen. But it's the work of the Lord. I know it's the work of the Lord that has allowed this. It's been a very interesting time for me. I've learned so much. I get such diverse questions. I'm very thankful for some of the brethren in this room that I've used, that when I get questions that I'm not quite sure how to answer or not quite sure that my answer makes any sense, that I'll send it to them, and they'll kind of look it over, edit it for me if they need me to, and send it back to me. So I'm very, very thankful for that. The reason I passed out these cards tonight is that if you have any questions that you would like answered, you're welcome. And if you don't have a question, you don't have to. Because sometimes when you force people to ask questions, you get questions like, who made God? How old is God? Questions like that. But if you have any question, one thing that we do advertise on the program and on the website is that if you have any moral or ethical questions or questions about the Bible or life in general, then we welcome your question. And we do make this promise. I won't give you my opinion, because my opinion is no better than anybody else's. But I do make the promise that I'll look into the Word of God and try to find the answer to your question in a way that will benefit you, and you can see from the Word of God the answer. Many, many people, I get comments from Facebook, many, many people have appreciated the answers. Not everybody appreciates the answers. I've been accused of being the Antichrist. I got that one time. I made the mistake of quoting from the NIV one time, and I got a bad. True Christians don't read the NIV. True Christians, King James. So I get things like that from time to time, and that's okay. With that many people, you're going to expect things like that. The questions are so diverse. Not every question makes it to the program. Some questions are just too personal. I've had questions about physical and emotional abuse, things like that. So I don't normally put those on the radio unless I'm really asked to do that. But some of them are too personal, really. But I do try to still send a scriptural answer to the questions that have been asked. And I'm just so thankful that so many people have availed themselves to the program and to ask the questions. I had one young man, maybe 2 months ago, he was sending me some pretty kind of mean questions. What do you Christians teach this for? Why do you say this? And I tried to answer his questions faithfully and scripturally, but the tone has softened so much, and I really appreciate that. But I really get the feeling that he really wants to know the answers. I'm going to take about 5 minutes, if you don't mind, and I'm going to take about 5 minutes and read today's question and answer. Is that okay? Yeah. What I try to do is, with every question that I get, I try to make an answer that takes about 5 minutes to read or 5 minutes to talk. So it's not too long, so it doesn't really bog people down with a big answer. And here's the question that was put on Facebook today. Do any of you get answers from the book on Facebook? Well, a few of you do. Good. I'm glad for that. And here's the question for today. Why did God say, this is my beloved son? Now, what do you think is the first thing I should address in a question like that? Well, the first part I address is, where does it say that? To make sure that the Bible does say that. So I'm going to read the answer. You can time me. It's going to take me about five and a half minutes to read this answer. And here is the answer. There are two instances in the Scriptures where the voice of God was heard expressing His love for His Son. When the Lord Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the Lord spoke from heaven. Matthew 3:16-17 tells us, "And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit of, God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Not only was the voice of God heard, but evidence was given of the existence of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost in this portion. As the Lord Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon Him, and the Father spoke from heaven, affirming that this Jesus was indeed His beloved Son. When the Lord Jesus was transfigured in the presence of Peter, James, and John, the Lord spoke again from heaven. Let's read Matthew 17:1-5. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.'" In this portion, the Lord not only validates that Jesus was indeed His beloved Son, but He instructs the disciples to listen to Him. The Old Testament is very instructive, teaching us that God has a Son. Isaiah 9:6, a very familiar verse, tells us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." What a precious thought. A child was born, but a son was given. We learn of the eternal Son in portions such as Proverbs 8:22-30, which says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abiding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the fountains, foundations of the earth, then I was by Him. As one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him." God has an eternal Son, and that Son is Jesus. We have the testimony of many in the New Testament concerning the Lord Jesus being the Son of God. The angel said to the Virgin Mary in Luke 1:35, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." John the Baptist said of Jesus in John 1:34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." The disciples said to the Lord in John 6:69, "And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Many of the Jews sought to kill the Lord because Jesus sought to kill the Lord Jesus because of His claim to be the Son of God, as we read in John 19:7, which says, "The Jews answered Him, 'We have a law, and by our law He ought to die because He made Himself the Son of God.'" Even demons acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, as we read in Matthew 8:28-29. "And when He was come to the other side, into the country of the Gethsemanes, there met Him 2 possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?'" We also read of demons acknowledging Jesus as the Son of God in Mark 3:11, which says, "And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God." At the Lord's crucifixion, we have this testimony in Matthew 27:54. "Now when the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God." The Father acknowledged Jesus as his very Son, the one in whom he was well pleased. The Lord Jesus himself said in John 8:29, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." We read in Colossians 1:12-14, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which he has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Finally, we have this wonderful testimony of the sonship of Christ in 1 John 5:20. "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." There are many more scriptures to show us that Jesus Christ is truly the only begotten Son of God. What was that? 5 minutes? 5 and a half? Or so? Okay. I hope you noticed that probably 3/4 of the answer was Scripture itself and not my thoughts. I just let the Word of God speak for itself. When I give an answer, I normally just don't give a reference because I realize that a lot of these people would not go to their Bibles and read, so I read the verse out for them. I try to think about the fact that when one person asks a question, there's going to be maybe up to 30,000 people read the answer. So I try to be very basic. I don't do it with every question, but at least once a week I try to make sure I get the gospel to those who listen or who read the answers that I give to the questions. So what I hope you guys will do is avail yourselves of this tool. Like I said, there's more than 200 questions on the site that you can go to, and there's a search engine there that you can type in any subject. If a question has been asked that deals with that subject, then you'll find it. Like I said, you can either read it or you can listen to it. I really am thankful, so thankful to the Lord for this opportunity to do this. It's not something that I take lightly. It's grown into probably 2 to 2.5 hours every day it takes me to do this. I try to really be careful to research the answers. Here lately I've been asked about several groups like Jehovah's Witnesses, or when Mitt Romney was running for president, I had a question about the Mormons. Just last week I had a question about the Seventh-day Adventists. I'm really impressed at times that I might answer a question and then the next couple of days I get a few questions that I can tell came from the first question. And it encourages me that people are actually reading and want to know. I've had very, very few questions that I've just had to throw out because they were mean-spirited, and I knew that it wasn't profitable to answer the questions. So I'm very, very thankful for this. And again, I want to say, if you have any questions, there's a question box in the back. There should be. If you have any questions that you want to ask, you can write on the index card, and I will answer it on the program. If you would like an answer back personally, if you put your email address on there, then I will personally send you the answer back. And if I use your question on the program, I promise I won't use your name. I keep making that promise so that people won't be afraid to ask something that they think I'll use their name, but I promise I'll never use your name to answer the question. With the time left, I was going to do a little exercise. So I want you guys to help me, okay? And not be backwards or shy at all, because we all know each other by the end of this week. Turn to Mark chapter 10 and verse 18. And what I'm going to do with just a few minutes that we have left is to look at a few questions that I have in front of me to answer. And I normally keep maybe 10 to 20 questions in front of me to answer. And this is one of them. And so I can ask for your help, can I? And just give me some thoughts. This was the question. Please explain Mark 10:18. And this is what it says. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. And the story, of course, here is the rich young ruler who came to the Lord, and he called him good master. He said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And so he said to him, why do you call me good? There is none good but God. How do we explain that? Let me ask you, is Jesus God? Yes. There's only one good, and that's God. Any ideas from the older ones or the younger ones? Scott? Good. Scott, thank you. I think that is the basis that we start from, that this man did not recognize that Jesus was God. And so when he called him good, Jesus brought out to him, there's only one good, and that's God. And this man didn't really understood that he was God. So very good, Scott. I appreciate that. It'll go a long way in helping me answer. Did Judas go to hell? What do you think? Who said yes? That sounds pretty powerful, Tom. What do you guys think? Did he go to hell or not? If you had to venture a guess, would you say yes or no? Not yet. Phew, that's too technical for me, Dave, but you're right. Not yet. and that might be a question in itself. Who is in hell right now? Right now? No one. Wow, boy, you guys are smart. You're so smart. Tell me what you think about Judas, though. Did he go to torment? Is that a better word? Descriptive of where he is now. Did Judas go to a place of torment as opposed to going to heaven? Yep. Okay. Well, what does it say, Tom? Oh. Okay. I think he says maybe it's the son of perdition there. I'm not sure if that's the one. If Judas did go to a place of torment, why? Do you think that Judas went to torment because he killed himself, as many people teach? That he probably did not get to go to heaven? You say no, Heidi. Why do you say that? It's Heidi. You were the one shaking your head. Okay. And, you know, I've run into that question before because many people believe, I was going to say the Catholics, but still many people believe that if a person takes his life, then he goes to hell. We've had that question asked before if you want to look up the answer. I would go to say, and of course using Scripture, Judas did not go to heaven because he did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what took him to a place of torment. And so with that question, I'd probably look into the very fact that Dave pointed out there's no one in hell yet, but there are those who are in torment, and that Judas would have gone to his place, as we read in Acts, because of his unbelief. Not because of his suicide, but because of his unbelief. Let me get that real quick. Dave, that has to do with the foot washing there of the disciples, right? Yes. Good. That's a very good point. And there he's speaking of you're all clean, but not all of you. And that was Judas. That he knew that he had chosen 12 and one of them was a devil. So with a question like that, there's plenty of scripture to show the answer. And I appreciate that one. Here's kind of a tough one. Why was Jesus baptized? Okay. Well, let me ask this question. Why are we baptized today? What is the purpose of our baptism? What? We are followers. We identify with the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, in His burial, and His resurrection. Well, when Christ was baptized, He hadn't died yet, had He? Baptism had a different significance at that point. And John the Baptist really preached baptism unto repentance, to show that you had repented. Did Christ have something to repent of? Had Christ done anything wrong? Let me go to one of my resources. Paul? Why was he baptized? Well, I know you can give a broad thought of what Scripture says. Okay. That's kind of, you know, my thought too, to go along with that, is that he kind of identified himself with the nation of Israel. And this work, he kind of validated the work that John the Baptist was doing. Brian?
My thought is that in the temple, the priest officially washed himself before entering. Then the servant who came to sacrifice was also washed. And Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry,
was
preparing people
to preach. I really appreciate that. I like that. I like that because it tends to bear itself out, doesn't it, in truth, of what the Lord was going to do. Did you notice the way that Paul reacted when I called his name? That's the reason I don't take calls in personally, because sometimes questions are just too important. You need time to sit down and think and pray and search the Scripture so that you can give a good answer. That's one of the reasons I never wanted to take in calling questions. Whatever happened to Joseph, Mary's husband? When is the last time we ever hear of Joseph? No. The father, who was speaking over here? Okay. That's the last time we read of Joseph, when Christ was 12 years old. But yet, at the cross, Christ sent her home with John. And he said, "Behold thy son." And to John he said, "Behold thy mother." So whatever happened to Joseph? And honestly, this one will take a little bit of speculation, I think. We're not really told. We're not told. I would speculate, and I don't like to do it much, that if Joseph was still alive, then Mary would have gone home with Joseph. So it's very possible that Joseph had died. But in fact, Scripture doesn't really tell us. When Christ was 12 years old was the last time we ever hear of Joseph. And one thing I've learned to try not to do is be emphatic where the Scripture is not. Let me see. All right, I'm going to end with this one. And I'm going to ask Wayne this question. This is one we've asked. And some questions are much harder than the others because you want to be definitive according to the Scripture. And I take it that this question was asked in honesty because I've had several questions dealing with this. Can a Christian be gay?
No.
Who said that? Okay. Does anyone disagree with that? Wayne, do you disagree with that? Ah, another good question. Can a Christian be alcoholic? Can a Christian be a fornicator? Can a Christian be a liar? Yes or no? Yeah. Just very quickly, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to say, this is what I'm still thinking about, how I can present this answer. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Look at some of the descriptions of unrighteous people. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters. Have any of you ever been guilty of idolatry? Have you ever put anything above the Lord? Well, that's what idolatry is. Have we ever been guilty of that? I have to confess that I have. Nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. A broad spectrum of people here that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's not just focused on homosexuality, but even liars, people who covet, people who are drunkards. Tolerable sins is what I call these things, sins that we tend to tolerate these days. Verse 11 says, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Here's one of the tougher questions. He that is that which is born of God sinneth not, we read in 1 John. And the thought of it there is that a person who is born of God does not practice sin. He does not continue to live in sin. So I guess my question would be, how could a true believer live a lifestyle that's contrary to the Word of God? That's kind of where I'm going with this question. I would find it very hard. But then, again, the Lord knoweth them that are His. I find it very, very hard to say this person's going to heaven, this person's not. Okay, Dale. And I do agree with that. The Lord works strongly in the hearts of His believers to bring us out of sin. But you want to comment on that, Dave? And that's true too. So, okay, Ron. I do agree with that. I agree 100% with that. I think that we all probably have tendencies for something, but we recognize those things as sin, and before the Lord and in the strength of the Lord, we try not to do those things. Tim, you want to say something?
So, I don't know if there should be a distinction made between maybe a Christian, a follower of Christ, and someone who has been saved from hell. Can you be a follower of Christ and be gay? Is that a better way of...
Probably so. Probably so.
What's the answer to that question? Is that different, maybe?
Well, I think that what you're saying is very true. I'm not sure that the person who asked the question understood that. I would assume that when somebody says a Christian, they mean somebody who's saved. But you're right, in the technical term, someone who's following Christ would not do that, would not do that at all. Let me ask you this question. Is homosexuality, is that sin? For someone to live that lifestyle, is that sin? It is. I think we've all agreed with that. And one problem, and I think Ron touched on this, is that society and even our doctors and our law and our lawmakers are telling the world that that is not sin. And so that's the first thing we have to recognize, what sin is. And it has to be acknowledged. This lifestyle is sinful, even as other things are. And again, so many times in medicine today, they take a sin and make a condition out of it. And what that tells you is that you're helpless, you're guiltless, you can't do anything about it, and we might as well just accept it. So we have to go back to the basics of this. Is homosexuality sin? Yes, it is. Should a believer live in sin? No, he should not. If a person commits one act, does that describe that person's lifestyle? Probably not. But I do go back to the realization in 2 Timothy that the Lord knoweth them that are his. I could certainly never, never condone that lifestyle. And I don't see how a believer could live that lifestyle. And it may be that if they are caught up in that lifestyle, it may be just as if what Dave said that and Bill said, the Lord may work in their heart and may decide to take them out, to take them to glory, to get them out of this world where they're dishonoring the Lord with their lifestyle. This is one of the harder questions. Some of them are much, much easier than that. Dave? And that makes it very emphatic, doesn't it? And it's not an Old Testament teaching, as some people say. That's an Old Testament teaching. And what Dave's referring to in Romans chapter 1 shows us exactly that it is sin. It's an indication of someone who's a reprobate, of someone who's turned away from God. So it is sin. Scott? You try that, Scott, and let us know how it works. We do, and I think Scripture bears out, too, as we find in 1 John, there is a sin unto death. We're not even told what it is, but there is a sin that at times the Lord may decide to take our life for something that we've done. Do we know anybody in the Bible who ever sinned a sin unto death? A believer now that sinned a sin and the Lord took his life for it. and an absence of power. Right. They did. Moses sinned his sin unto death. What was that sin? Do you remember? Exactly right. The Lord told him to speak to the rock so that water would come out, but in his anger and frustration, he struck the rock. But the Lord didn't take his life right then, but that is why the Lord took his life. He sinned a sin unto death, and the Lord took his life for that. Well, our time's up. I really appreciate your input in helping me. I do want you to understand this resource is available to you. If you have any questions you want to put, I think there's a box back there. Like I said, if you'd like a personal answer, leave your email address with the question. Remind everybody again about the In Touch magazine sign up back there. Be sure to go by and do that too. So let's pray. Our loving God and Father, we thank you for the ability to understand your word. We thank you for thy spirit that indwells each one of us as those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that thy spirit will lead us into truth. And we thank you that for every question we have, we can look to your word and find the answer. I do thank you for this work that you've allowed here with Answers from the Book, and pray for your continued blessings in that, and that it might be a place to bring glory and honor to your name, a place to help people who do have questions. So thank you for that. And just now again, pray for the upcoming gospel meeting later, and continue to pray, Father, for the salvation of precious souls. We pray in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Oh, and if you take this address down, it'll give you everything you need. It'll tell you where the radio program is on the internet. It'll lead you to the Facebook. If you let that be your starting point, you'll find all you need.